Welcome back to the Spiritually Armored Podcast. I'm Devin Singleton. I have Jeremiah Settle with me.
Hello.
Today we're going to be in 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 1 through 19, talking about Naaman. So I guess we'll go on and just read this here. 2 Kings chapter 5, start. Now Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great and honorable man in the eyes of his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor, but a leper. And the Syrians had gone out on raids and had brought back captive a young girl from the land of Israel. She waited on Naaman's wife. Then she said to her mistress, "If only my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy." And Naaman went in and told his master, saying, "Thus and thus said the girl who is from the land of Israel." Then the king of Syria said, "Go now, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel." So he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 changes of clothing. Then he brought the letter to the king of Israel, which said, "Now be advised, when this letter comes to you, and I have sent Naaman to my servant to you, that you may heal him of his leprosy." And it happened, when the king of Israel read the letter, that he tore his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and make alive, that this man sends a man to heal me, that this man sends a man to me to heal him of his leprosy? Therefore, please consider and see how he seeks a quarrel with me."
I think it's interesting right here, Devin. If you look at it, this man, Naaman, is pretty much going to the farthest degree to make sure that he gets rid of this leprosy. And as we know, leprosy was nothing to kid around with during that time. And it's not like they could just go to some clinic or anything like that and just take some medication and get rid of it. So, I mean, clearly this guy, being not a Jew at all, he is going to some other place, some other country, some other man that he doesn't even know, to make sure that he gets rid of this. But would we do the same thing? I think I would. And I think this shows you a lot of faith that Naaman has already, that he's willing to do this. I just wanted to share that before we continue on. And I think that's important when we see the rest of the story.
Yeah, that's a good point about the faith aspect of this. You know, we live in a world now where a lot of people, it's a common belief that people say, well, the Bible, you can interpret however, you know, whatever you interpret it as, that is what.
Yeah, that's your interpretation. This is my interpretation.
Right. And that, you know, it's just really interesting here that Naaman, the king of Syria, who later on would take over Israel after the Babylonians had taken them over, he's seeking out God. And you think about Israel and their experience with war, you know, he probably heard some of those stories of Israel having way less people in their army as compared to these countries they were fighting, were able to win.
And so that takes a lot of guts to do something like that, mm-hmm. to go to pretty much your enemy.
Oh, yeah.
And to try to find help.
Yeah. This story's great.
And let's start at verse 8 and okay. See what happens.
All right. So it was when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, "Why have you torn your clothes? Please let him come to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." Then Naaman went with his horses and chariot, and he stood at the door of Elisha's house. And Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, "Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored to you, and you shall be clean."
All right. Let's just pause there real quick. So Naaman went with his horses and chariot, and he stood at the door of Elisha's house. So he went all the way there. All right. Would you think by going to his door, he kind of like let him in or something of that nature? You know, like, I went this far.
Yeah.
And do you not know my position, my authority? Well, now he sends a messenger out to him instead. And what's the odd remark that he gives him right here?
It's go and wash in the Jordan 7 times.
So put yourself in Naaman's shoes right now. What would you think if you were told that?
That's all I got to do? Like, what? But that sounds crazy.
Yeah, it sounds loony.
Yeah.
It sounds loony. And I think that's interesting because look at verse 11. What does it say in verse 11?
But Naaman became furious and went away and said, "Indeed, I said to myself, he will surely come out to me and stand and wave his hand over the place and heal the leprosy."
Yeah. So do you not know who I am? Do you not know the distance that I traveled? Do you not know the money that I have?
Uh-huh.
And you're just telling me to do this? It's like, is this a practical joke? Yeah. No, you're going to come out here and you're going to heal me. And I think it's interesting too, because it shows you Naaman's thought when it comes to being healed. Because he said, you're going to wave his hand. He's going to wave his hand over this place and heal the leprosy. Well, that almost sounds kind of witchcraft.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Well, that's probably what he's used to. That's probably what he's familiar right. with. Not understanding the God of heaven could do things just a snap of a finger.
Yeah.
You know, when we finish talk, like getting through this scripture, there's some parallels to the world today that I think can really be drawn here.
Oh, yeah.
I'll continue in verse 12. Are not the Abana and the Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in rage. And his servants came near and spoke to him and said, my father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? How much more then when he says to you, wash and be clean? So he went down and dipped 7 times in the Jordan according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his aides, and came and stood before him and said, indeed, now I know that there is no God in all the earth except in Israel. Now therefore, please take a gift from your servant. But he said, as the Lord lives, before whom I stand, I will receive nothing. And he urged him to take it, but he refused. So Naaman said, then if not, please let your servant be given 2 mule loads of earth, for your servant will no longer offer either burnt offering or sacrifice to other gods, but to the Lord. Yet in this thing may the Lord pardon your servant when my master goes into the temple of Rimmon to worship there, and he leans on my hand, and I bow down in the temple of Rimmon. When I bow down in the temple of Rimmon, may the Lord please pardon your servant in this thing. And he said to him, go in peace. So he departed from him a short distance.
Wow, that's some awesome stuff right there.
I mentioned the parallels that can be drawn today. It's for us, for those who are members of the church, I think we read this section of scripture and our mind goes immediately to baptism,
mm-hmm.
right? Obviously, you know, Naaman, he had leprosy. He was sick with leprosy. He was told to go wash in the waters of Jordan, which I think there's some good insight here as well into where his mind was regarding that. He's like, hold on, Jordan is like the least clean river around, and you're telling me to go wash in it and it's going to heal my leprosy? That doesn't make sense.
No.
But, you know, the same parallel, you look in we say Christendom, those who are in denominations, and we say, well, baptism is necessary for salvation. Matthew 28, 18 through 20, Mark 16, 15 and 16.
1 Peter 3:21,
Acts 2, 38. We can keep going, but they look at us when we say that, and they say, well, that's foolishness. Haven't you ever read Ephesians 2, 8 and 9? It's like, well, yeah.
We agree with that.
I agree with that, but you have to understand what the grace of God is. Yes, grace is giving you something you do not deserve. That's what everyone describes it as, but it's more than just that. What was the grace of God? The grace of God was him sending his son and giving us a way to eternal life. And there's a way that we can access that eternal life. So, but what's interesting with Naaman here is after the foolishness, what he does. And I love this story because he says, he goes and complains about it. He's like, well, this person told me to go wash in the Jordan. That's foolish. He goes and complains and they're like, okay, the man of God told you to do it, so why don't you just do it? What's it going to hurt you?
Yeah. Hey, it makes me think about it. There's plenty of examples that we see, especially in the Old Testament, where God says to do something, and to our reasoning, it does sound foolish. So Noah was told to build an ark because it's going to rain for 40 days. Well, maybe even to him to a little bit, to an extent, but of course to the whole rest of the world, that sounds foolish. Well, Joshua, I want you to go march around the city 7 times. Well, if you told that to an engineer or some general to do that, to conquer a city, they would tell you, you're nuts. That's foolish. But the thing is, though, we don't rely upon man's reasoning. We rely upon God. And I think a great example to that is 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and Paul is talking about the gospel here. And he says here in verse 18 of chapter 1, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring it to nothing the understanding of the prudent. He says, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? And he continues on and to just show that people sought after wisdom, philosophy, and other things. Of course, I'm paraphrasing that, and I hope, reader, you go on to read the rest of it. But no, he's saying, I preach Christ crucified, which is foolishness to many people. But you know what? That's what saves you.
Yeah. It's actually really interesting where this is, because you just go up to verse 10 in the same chapter there. Paul is talking about, he says, well, I'm glad I didn't baptize any of you, because now you're following, I am of Apollos, I am of Cephas, I am of Christ. And he says, is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? It's interesting. I bring that up because we talk about the wisdom of the world. Well, what are people doing today? I mean, the first one that comes to my mind is Lutheran. You literally named your sect after Luther, Martin Luther. Methodist, you named your sect after what John Wesley described his brand of Christianity as, a very methodical one. That's why they're called Methodists. You know, it's just really interesting to me that that section of scripture talking about don't divide yourselves is right before, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing.
And to kind of get back what you were saying, you know, you have Naaman in the story, and he's told what he needs to do, and he's like, he's trying to reason within himself, you know, why can't I go to these other rivers? Because they're apparently cleaner, they're better, and that might be true. That might be a true statement. And I think, like most of us, we get frustrated when there's some things that we hear pertaining to the Word of God, and we don't want to listen to it. And so, like you said, Naaman goes to find a person, and he complains. But what does that person do in response to Naaman's complaint?
Well, he says, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it?
Yeah.
So, he was told to go do something in what Naaman's eye was foolish. That's a good point.
And I always find it interesting. You see all these people, they will go to all these extreme lengths just to please God instead of doing what the Word of God says. And he says directly. And you know what? If it sounds a little extreme, but you might have someone say, you know, I'm going to please God by going on this great journey, go walking for 5,000 miles or fasting for this many days or saying this type of prayer. When reality, okay, that's cool, that's great, but is that what the Lord says? And if the Lord didn't say it, but you're doing all these other things, is that going to count to anything? No, it's not going to help you. And that's the point he's trying to make. You would have gone and done anything else if he would have told you. But why will you not just do what the Lord says?
You know, it's interesting. Naaman was expecting to do something complicated. He was expecting something extremely complex, which, you know, you talk about the interpretation thing. People who believe that you can have your own interpretation, they believe it because they think it's a hard thing to understand. They think that it's impossible for everyone to come to the same conclusion. Look at Naaman's, it's something so simple. All you got to go do is wash in the water 7 times. That's extremely simple, yet Naaman was going to reject it. So why should we approach the Bible and think this is something that's difficult for us to understand, or think that God would give us something that we can't be united? You know, John 17:17, I believe, is Jesus's prayer where he talks about having unity. He wants his disciples to have unity. I believe unless...
John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. And you go down to verses 21, and that's when he starts praying about the portion of unity.
Yeah, so, you know, it's just, why would Jesus pray for unity if it's not possible? If it wasn't something that everyone could understand just through reading his word?
I think the principle to be found here is in verse 14. I'm going to read this again. So he went down and dipped 7 times in the Jordan according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And the principle to be made here is, when you do what God says, then that's when you reap the blessings. Naaman would not have been cleansed if he didn't do what the Lord has said through the prophet.
And it's something interesting about that. You know, if you go and ask most people who are not in the church, hey, is baptism a commandment? Most of them will say yes, because you can't deny it. If you read the Bible, you can't deny baptism a commandment. Mm-hmm. I lost my train of thought. The point is, it's a commandment, and to say that it's not necessary goes against what the word says. You know, 1 Peter 3:21, you mentioned it earlier. You know, you mentioned just do what God says so you can reap what he said, or reap what he said he would give you. We're going to talk about Abraham, but you think of Abraham, he was going to give his only son, the son he knew was the son of promise. Because of that he got what God promised him, and he showed God his faith in doing that. I don't know. I kind of lost my train of thought, and it didn't go the way I wanted it to.
Well, let me say this. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Now, I think if anybody was asked, do you love Jesus? I think we'd all raise our hands and say, yeah, we love Jesus.
Yeah.
Well, Jesus is saying, well, prove it to me. keep my commandments.
Right.
Because James even says faith without works is dead, as we know that. And he mentions that four different times, from verses 14 all the way down to verse 26. So what are we going to do? Well, in response to God's grace that he is willing, freely willing to offer to us, mm-hmm. our response to me needs to be an obedient faith. Well, yes, Lord, you love me, and I want to show that I love you. I'm going to show that by what you have asked me to do.
Right.
By keeping your commandments. And I love it also, too, in verse 15, the response, and he returned to the man of God, and he and all his aides, and came and stood before him, and he said, indeed, now I know that there is no God in all the earth except in Israel. Now, therefore, please take a gift from your servant. So, once he has experienced the blessings of God, there's the full conviction right there. You know what? This is truly the God that I need to serve.
Right.
I think there's confidence right there, because when we go to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21, and I always like to emphasize this to people, and if someone's always wondering, do I need to be baptized or not? Well, I want you to look at this verse, and it's pretty straightforward. Remember, God's simple. God is simple when it comes to salvation. And it says right here in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21, there is also an antitype or a like figure which now saves us. And he's referring back to verse 20, which is talking about Noah and the ark. And it says, which now saves us, and it says baptism. But he says, not the removal of the filth of the flesh. So he says, it's not a bath where you're dirty because you just got in some mud and is wiping that off. No, no, no. This is something that's spiritual. But it's the answer of a good conscience towards God. Whoa, 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 whoa. So you're saying that, like, when Jesus says that this is a command and I obey his commands, I am having a good conscience because I'm obeying God. We can be confident in that. That's nice. And he goes even further to say, he says, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus died, he was buried, and he rose again. That resurrection. That resurrection was to show us that there is a new life. There's life after death. Well, if Jesus was still in the grave, there's no life after death. But it's showing us right here, we too can partake of that death, burial, and that resurrection, having confidence that we can have a new life.
You know, a good cross-reference for that last part of verse 21 is Romans 6:1-4. You know, I think we've covered that in detail in previous episodes. Yeah, I agree with you, man. I agree with you.
Yeah. So, listener, if you're listening right now, you know, things that were written before were written for our learning, as we know in Romans chapter 15, verse 4. And these are principles in the Old Testament that are principles that are still applied today. And what we can see is through the example of Naaman had faith. He had faith to believe God. Even when he was frustrated, he had to understand and realize what God said is what goes. And when we obey the Lord, we can reap the blessings once we obey him. So the question is for you, listener, if you know that you need to obey the gospel, and that includes being baptized for the remission of your sins because Jesus said it, who is Lord? Are you going to obey his commands? Are you going to reap that blessing? If you need to reach out to us, contact us at armoredspiritually@gmail.com. And if you want, go ahead, leave a comment, and we'll respond back to you whenever we can. But until then, hope to speak with you soon.
Until next time.
Oh, yeah, until next time.
Spread the gospel.
Spread the gospel.